Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Frederick Bell. Fred, are you ready to do this?
Absolutely, George.
All right, let's go. Frederick is the CEO of Elemental Royalties. They are a gold-focused royalty company. He's been the recipient of Young Rising Star Award by Minds and Money. I'm excited to have you on. Fred, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, I suppose I'd probably define myself as a young mining professional. So I think almost the newer generation coming into mining, and I think there's a perspective that everyone has on the mining industry from the outside. And I think that when you look at the future, mining as a whole is integral to whether it's green energy revolution, wind turbines, electric cars, whatever it is. When we're in the car, when we're at home, when we're making food, when we're at work, we are using metals and minerals that have either been mined or farmed. And so I studied history. I came into mining by accident. I think I fell in love with the industry. And fast forward a bit more than 10 years, and I set up a gold royalty company, and we listed in Canada last year in the middle of COVID. So that was an experience. So doing a roadshow from home on the computer in different time zones. But fundamentally, we're a gold royalty company. And what we're really doing is we're giving people, I think, exposure or opportunity to get exposure to gold in a diversified vehicle. And if you don't know the royalty model, I think you should, not just in mining. But it's a lot of industries, and it is a really powerful business model. And the best way to describe it is maybe we're here on a podcast, and if you think of your average favorite music song, the writer, the singer, the producers might get a royalty on that. And every time that song is listened to, they might get 1 cent or $1. And we are doing very similar. We get royalties on different gold projects around the world, Canada, Australia, wherever it is. And then that gives us a really diversified exposure to gold ongoing. And that's really a quick intro to the company.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So when you say you get a royalty, I totally understand that. Is that because you've made an agreed upon investment that will allow them to grow their business? So you're sort of becoming like a little shareholder?
Yes, it's actually, we have bought partly third party royalties. So that's existing ones on assets. And if you look at the mining industry today, and it maybe goes back to that first point about how much the mining industry has changed, and mines nowadays might take 10 years to actually be developed and built. And by anyone's investment horizons, that's a long time. And there's an awful lot of money and effort that people are putting in over years to develop this project. And so along the way, people often take some risk off the table. And maybe that is in the form of some shares. Maybe that is in the form of a royalty. And so for us, it's an opportunity to really almost aggregate some of those together. And then we offer a really diversified vehicle that is more diversified than the big mining companies, because we don't have to operate any assets, and we get exposure to top line revenue. So it is, you don't get operating cost inflation, you don't have to contribute to ongoing costs. Once you own a royalty, you just get checks in the post every quarter, every year, for as long as that asset goes. And if it goes for 40 years, then you get paid for 40 years. So it is really good in that sense. And again, using the music analogy, I think if you had you think of your favorite song and you had a royalty on it, you might be listening to a different song in 5 years' time. And so actually, if you took a royalty on 20 of your favorite songs and put them all together, that would be a more stable investment and give you more exposure generally. And that's sort of in a very similar way what we're doing with a gold royalty company.
Nice. All right. And so there is there's like an initial, for lack of a better term, an IPO that I have as, let's say that I'm operating, I was going to say GLG Gold, but that would be inappropriate because that was a company. Those are my initials. I'm operating George Grumbacher Gold Company. I own land in Canada. I think that there's gold there. I start digging. I start the mine. It's going to take me 10 years, but I've shown through my analysis that there is in fact gold under the ground. And I say, you know what? I need to have some revenue coming in. I want just money coming in. And that's where I would start or offer a royalty.
Yeah, exactly. That's often the case. Prospectors, sometimes landowners, end up with a royalty. And for them, you might be at a time in your life where you think that, you know, this mine could take an awfully long time to be developed, and I'd like to buy a house in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So maybe actually I take a royalty on it and sell it to someone, and they can put it into a portfolio where it fits, rather than me having 90% of my personal exposure to this asset. And that's typically how a lot of royalties come about. Some are financings to build a mine directly. So some are with the companies. But it is a pretty mixed, they come around through all shapes and forms. We bought a royalty, funnily enough, from Carlton Breweries, which, if you like your beer, is Foster's beer. And they had it through some acquisitions in Australia. So I think we had a Foster's to celebrate when we closed that deal. But
makes all sense in the world.
Yeah, I think it's a really pertinent sort of gold as an investment. And again, I'm in my mid-30s. I'm in a generation where a lot of my friends invest in Bitcoin and crypto on their phone. And actually, it's gold is an investment that provides diversification away from individual currencies. And I think, crucially, unlike cryptos and Bitcoins, you never know with those which is going to ultimately succeed. Gold has been around for millennia. It is accepted internationally. And, you know, where other things might go up and down over the course of months or years, you look at gold and it has been a constant throughout history. And that's not just individuals, it's central banks. It is, you know, actually in governments themselves. And so I think particularly in sort of today's environment, where there is a lot of money being printed and a lot of debt being created by governments, I think gold has a really crucial role to play. And that's why I think actually, if you can do it not via a specific miner in a specific country where you have a lot of asset risk, a lot of country risk, if you can do it in a vehicle where you get some top line revenue to multiple assets, it's really diversified, but you get that leverage to all their exploration ongoing. That's why it sort of works. And that's really what attracted me to end up setting up a royalty company and being here today chatting with you.
Nice. No, I appreciate it. And that certainly does make sense. So the initial sale that I make, I just kind of announce it and people can, I say, hey, I have a royalty for sale, and people buy that. Because I am, theoretically speaking, 5 years off or 8 years or 9 years off from actually producing and then selling, so making money, does that royalty, is that of lesser value versus a royalty of an existing going concern?
Yes. Yeah, of course. I mean, look, it's always a trade-off between the size of the resource, the operator, the jurisdiction, whether it's in production or not. And when we talked about long timeline nowadays for environmental permitting, for social permitting, really, you know, with the communities and building the mine, obviously those are some pretty big hurdles to get over. And some of those, there's no, you know, it just takes time.
Yeah.
You need to get people comfortable. You need to make sure you've done the proper risks assessments and feasibility studies. And so for that reason, producing royalties, I think I'd call it the holy grail, because you're getting exposure today to gold prices, in our case, and you're getting the exposure down the line through continuing exploration. So it's it works best when you have producing royalties, but then you can also have some development assets that might come in year two, year three, year four, year five, year six. So you've got that constant growth. And I think one of the really interesting things about royalty companies as a whole, and this doesn't just apply to mining, but the model is that you don't operate any assets. And so you're very, very lean management teams. And the biggest mining royalty companies are 30 billion market cap and 30, 35 employees. So it's sort of incredible when you get to that scale. And I think where we are, you know, the benefit we have is we can grow quite fast. So we've sort of grown revenue 50% year on year since we started in 2017. And I think that's obviously harder to do when you're bigger, but it's certainly a good business model to be in.
Nice. Yeah, I appreciate that. So as a potential investor in a royalty company, I would be looking at who is managing and who is making these decisions. So I'd be looking at you and say, okay, how is Fred doing a great job at evaluating which of these royalties to be looking at, and then buying, to what you're just talking about, buying existing revenue generating, but then also looking into the future so that, you know, 10 years from now, when some of these are no longer producing anymore just because they ran out of gold, we have new ones coming online.
Yeah, and I think this is something that, again, you can probably broaden it outside of mining and apply generally, but I remember investing many years ago now at university myself, and I always underestimated the people and the management. And now being on the other side of the fence and actually running a company, that's always now the first thing I look at. I go on a company and I look at who's involved in this, who's on the board, who's a management, do they have a track record of success? And I think we're fortunate in that two of our directors actually owned royalties personally, both producing royalties. And I think both of them have sort of built billion-dollar mining companies and been involved in that. And we've got some really good technical experience in the DNA of Elemental from when we started. And Richard and Peter, who I started this with, and I've known Richard for more than a decade now, both come from a technical background, worked for Western Mining in Australia, which was one of Australia's biggest companies. And I think that was crucial, because we can, as you say, we can find opportunities, but you need that grey-haired technical experience, and you almost need those scars from seeing things that have gone wrong to inform your decision-making going forwards. And so I think as we have grown, we've been able to attract better, you know, we've got bigger institutional investors, but also we've really strengthened out the team with people who have been there, done it, serially successful. And the great thing is, it's not just their experience, but it's also their contact base, because a lot of these royalties, they come through network, they come through people. And I always think it's a people business. So I've always thought that good people introduce you to other good people, and then it becomes a really virtuous cycle in terms of your network connections. And a lot of these royalty opportunities ultimately do come through those introductions and other people in the industry.
Nice. I appreciate that. So how do I as an investor participate? Do I need to be an accredited investor? As I'm talking and saying that, I recognize that you are in the UK and that the stock is traded in Canada, but how does it all work?
So it's, I can, in the UK, we can buy shares now on our mobile phone. If you've got an investing platform, and I think if you're in Canada, we're listed on the TSXV with the symbol LEELE. And in the US, we're listed on the OTC with the symbol ELEMF. And nowadays, I think if you have an investing platform, generally, I would think that anywhere from Australia to Europe to South America, you can probably go on your phone, go on your laptop, and you can actually look up the company. And I think most places participate. I always think that technology, the world is getting smaller and smaller, and it's getting easier every month to talk to people and engage with people, and even, you know, in this example, invest in companies on the other side of the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It is an amazing thing. And to learn about things that you never really knew a lot about, like royalty companies and investing in gold this way. So when I go and buy shares, then y'all issue a dividend? Is that how it works out?
Yeah, so we paid a dividend when we started the company privately. So we started in 2017. We listed last year in 2020. We actually stopped paying a dividend when we listed, partly because I think we sort of doubled the size of the company twice last year. And so our view was, at this stage, growth is more important for us, getting critical mass and scale, because what you really want as a royalty company is diversification, mm-hmm. I think, and that's really helpful. So our view is a dividend is probably an efficient return of capital as a route, and maybe that's something that starts to come in 2022 as one of our bigger royalties, or our biggest royalty, sort of has just come on stream recently.
So you are viewing yourself more as a growth company?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, we have, I think we started this in 2017 at a roughly 27 cent equivalent share price, and we're probably 140, 150 at the moment. We've increased share price every time. I think we have increased revenue every year since we've started. And up until last year, when full year results were announced, I think we had doubled revenue year on year. So it's definitely a growth stock in that sense, as you would expect with, in some regards, a startup royalty company in 2017. And this was literally just an idea jotted down on a piece of paper then. So I think it's the natural evolution is that as we grow and as a portfolio builds out, dividend is one of those items on the list that starts to make more sense.
Got it. Makes perfect sense to me. Well, Fred, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I think I'll go back to something that came about through a question that you asked today, and it's about people. And if I whether it's in work or in personal life, I think working with, associating with good people, I have learned over the course of my career, makes a huge difference. And I think sometimes you even see it in sports teams where you get a top manager in, a top coach, and they can get more out of the people around them, and you get in a really positive environment. So I think if I could go back to my younger self, I would say look out for the really successful, driven, honest people with a good ethics, and I think work with them, get to know them, learn from them. So that would be my top tip.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. Yeah, it is all about the people, man. I like it. Well, Frederick, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you, and how can they engage with you and Elemental Royalties?
Easiest way is always initially probably our website, www.elementalroyalties.com, and we always say that we're phone lines are open if anyone ever calls the office, and funnily enough, we rarely get calls from investors, but if people do, we're always very receptive and happy to talk through a bit about the company and the history and the plans going forwards as well.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Fred your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to elementalroyalties.com and find them however you like to purchase your stocks, and see if it's a good fit for you. Thanks again, Fred.
Thanks, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, as we are all in this together.